Hello and welcome to the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Sports Analytics Podcast. I'm Scott Tappa, Director of the Conference, and I'd like to invite you to attend our event June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. We have a fantastic speaker lineup taking shape. Please visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference to learn more. Today I'm speaking with one of our presenters, Coralie Bagley. Coralie is a data scientist at Huddle and at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference. Coralie will deliver a talk titled Bump Set Spike Using Analytics to Rate Volleyball Teams and Players. Coralie, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be on. I'm really excited to attend the conference and excited for the opportunity to speak. So
awesome. We're looking forward to having you, and especially because this is our second year of our conference and we really didn't have a volleyball speaker last year. So I'm excited to have that topic on the agenda. It's a sport that I love personally. I'm sure you love it far more than I do, and we can talk about that more. So why don't we just get started by telling me about your background and how you got into volleyball analytics.
All right. So there was a company called Volumetrics based out of Utah. I was in school at the time at BYU, and I was looking for an internship, and they happened to have one line up with right when I was looking for it, and they brought me on. We worked on some smaller projects, some of the preambles for what I'm going to be discussing at the conference, and some of the base work for that. At the end of that internship, they ended up hiring me on part-time until I graduated, and once I graduated, they hired me on full-time as the director of analytics there. So while there, you know, I did a variety of things, everything from modeling, like predictive modeling, forecasting, report creation, report automation, those kinds of things. Worked with anywhere from high school and club teams all the way up to the U.S. and Netherlands national teams. So after working there for a few years, Huddle entered the equation where they came and they acquired Volumetrics to just team up with what we had. So they had a really good reach into the club and high school levels, and we had really good reach into the elite level markets, and they thought that it would be a perfect union between the two companies. So
Tell me about your academic background and your athletic background. Where are you, a volleyball player, coach?
No, actually. So I'm a lover of sports. Got my degree in statistical science, specifically from Brigham Young University. I just love sports, love the idea of doing sports analytics. I had a sister-in-law who was a high school volleyball coach, multiple state champion coach, and I honestly wasn't a huge fan of it, not because I didn't like it, just because I hadn't had a lot of exposure. But the opportunity to work in sports while I was still in school was a huge draw to me. And ever since I started at Volumetrics, you know, volleyball has become one of those sports that I'll stop watching something else in order to turn it on and watch it. And yeah, I developed a really strong, powerful connection to volleyball, and it's purely data-based. You know, I don't really have a ton of experience playing. I don't have any experience coaching, and yet I still find myself having conversations with Division I and international coaches talking about, you know, strategy and things of that nature. And it surprises me to this day that, you know, I can hold an educated conversation about that, because I really had zero experience, and now it's something that I'm very, very familiar with. So
very cool. So when did you start with Volumetrics? How long ago?
I started with Volumetrics in 2015, I think.
Okay. And how long have they been around, or how long had they been around, I should say?
Yeah. So they were still a relatively small company. When I started full-time, I think I was the seventh full-time employee. They had been around, I think, since 2012.
Okay. So you know, where was volleyball where was the adoption of analytics involved in the sport of volleyball compared to some other sports? I mean, we'll use Moneyball as the, you know, the touchstone, 2002, 2003, whatever.
Right.
When did volleyball start incorporating this line of thinking and some of this methodology?
Video and basic analytics have been around for a really long time. But most of the things that coaches look towards in volleyball are still relatively old. I mean, you're looking at the basic statistics that have been around since the conception of the sport, and there really hasn't been a lot of steps forward, especially at the lower levels of volleyball. At lower levels, you're really tracking, you know, 5 to 10 statistics maybe for a player. And outside of that, you kind of just go with what you see on the court. Even in higher levels of volleyball, there are many, for example, there are many Division I collegiate teams that really don't have much of an analytics focus at all. And that's where volumetrics came in. You know, we knew that a lot of these programs were either underfunded or they had reached, you know, maximum potential for their coaching staffs, and they still weren't getting the analytics that they wanted. And so we came in, found out that we had a whole storage bank of video from the exchange that we were doing, and decided to see if we could focus all that data into a usable source. So I'd say that it's old in the analytics in volleyball are old because people have been using numbers and visual graphics for a long time, but it's still really young in advanced analytics. There really hasn't been a ton of research into volleyball as a sport, which is surprising to me in a little bit because it lends itself so well to analysis. I mean, you know what skills are going to follow other skills. You know the basic layout and strategy of every game. You know, it's always going to be serve, reception, set, attack. And so you, there's a lot that you can do and a lot of insight that you can gain from breaking down volleyball as a sport.
Yeah. And there's a set stop or start and stop to each play too. It's not right. a fluid event. It's a bunch of individual runs too. Right. So,
yep, absolutely.
So, you know, how have the questions, you know, even though you haven't been involved with it for, you know, a really long period of time, but how have the questions that you've been asking or been asked to tackle by your clients, how's that changed over time? Has it gotten more complicated? Has it gotten more simple? I mean, how has that interaction and how have the things that you've tackled evolved?
So at the lower levels, like I said, those were usually fairly simple requests, fairly simple questions that really just required data. You know, at the club and high school level, there really hasn't been a lot. I mean, they haven't had access to a whole lot of data. And so answering those questions are usually pretty simple of, you know, do I have the right strategy? Is this something that should work? But as you work your way up through the levels of volleyball, so talking about the international level, for example, the U.S. national team, at that level, they get really in depth. They're looking at, you know, when should we implement a back row attack? Is it rotation based? Is it situation based? You know, and they look at really, really in depth things because they're looking for any edge they can get in order to find that success. So, over time, I think the questions that I've been answering have been getting more and more complicated. But I think that's also due to, you know, our entry into these more elite categories of volleyball. So, but I mean, even at the really high level, sometimes the questions are really easy and it's just a matter of, hey, I need to visualize this information and I need an effective way in order to look at it and quickly glean information so that I can get back to coaching.
Okay. How does the work that you're asked to do break down between let's just call it whole team strategy type work versus maybe individual player development? You know, the spots to hit on the floor, individual positioning, skill development, that sort of thing. How does it break down?
For me, I'm almost exclusively a full team analysis kind of person, just because I'm working with, you know, hundreds of teams, and usually I don't have the latitude or bandwidth to look on an individual player by player basis. But I try to circumvent that a little bit through the reports that we've created at Volumetrics. So we have these really in depth, up to 120 page reports that can be automatically generated by the teams that go through each player individually and show their shot charts, show their success rates, and you can break that down very granularly. But individually, I tend to focus on more macro themes, you know, team success or player success across a whole league rather than an individual player on a team, and trying to identify what areas and how we can get better for that individual player.
Okay. You know, just thinking to some of the more widely known evolutions in sports with analytics, like let's just say the increased use of three-pointers in basketball or shifting in baseball, those sorts of things. Have you seen any comparable strategic shifts that maybe bucked conventional wisdom in volleyball during your time involved with it?
Yeah, two in particular come to mind. One is in regards to serving. For a really long time, people just thought the harder I serve, the better, you know, and they're looking at their ace to error ratio, and they're kind of, they didn't really have a successful way to gauge what happened after a serve, you know, how am I affecting the other team? And it was, a lot of it was gut, and a lot of it was, hey, if I just serve hard, it'll be better. And a lot of coaches, I was reading an article even just the other day about Kart Karai, the head coach of the women's national team, about how almost no players on their team anymore do a jump serve. You know, they're almost all focused on either a standing float or a jumping float serve, which is where you just don't spin the ball. It's kind of like a knuckleball in baseball. And so rather than serving hard, they're looking to disrupt the other team's offense in other ways. And that's one of the things that the data really points out. It just says one of the worst things you can do is miss a serve, simply because it's just on automatic point for the other team and they have no chance to mess it up. The other one is back row attacking, where a lot of teams attack from the back row just because they have this belief that if they attack from the back row, it makes attacking from the front row easier. But a lot of our data is saying that if you're going to attack from the back row, you have to do it very deliberately and with a very specific strategy. Otherwise, you could not only hurt your overall attack because you're less efficient from the back row, but you could also hurt your front row efficiency simply because you mess up setter, hitter timing, or, you know, a variety of other things. And so those two things, which have been around for a really long time, and there's a general consensus around the sport, I think some teams are taking notice that back row attacking and serving doesn't have to be the way that it's always been. And they're changing up their strategies to try and optimize their chances of winning.
That's good stuff. So you mentioned Kart Karai. Do you work directly with Kart Karai?
Yeah. So I've had multiple reports that Kart requested personally. I've emailed him over the last couple of years, and we've had a variety of different interactions there.
That's awesome. I mean, he was one of my boyhood heroes, yeah. Volleyball player. Awesome. And I guess in the frame of our conversation here, so here's a guy who's been successful at the highest level for 30 years or more, right? Probably. Yeah. Would probably fit the frame of a traditionalist, right? Yeah. But you've seen him be open to new statistical analytical based strategies and, yeah. And other findings like that, correct?
Yeah. And he's always looking for new information. I mean, he's a really great coach that is always, you know, open to any opportunity that he can find to help his team find success. And I mean, as you mentioned, he's probably the single most famous name in volleyball. I mean, he's the Michael Jordan of volleyball in many regards, and both as a coach and as a player, he's been phenomenal at everything he's touched with in volleyball. So, and yeah, he has a lot of experience and has been through a lot of different phases of volleyball, and he's still looking for ways to learn and grow and find new information that helps his team. So,
yeah, I guess that should be a characteristic of any successful coach or executive or whatever. But all right, moving on to Huddle then. Then, you know, like I said when you joined the call here, you know, I've got experience with Huddle as a coach, just as a video sharing service and marking up and some of the real primitive things you can do through Huddle. But I'm also aware that there's more that can be done with the service. So tell me about what your company now, Huddle, HUDL, for those of you who aren't familiar. What kind of services do you provide beyond just that basic video sharing?
Absolutely. Huddle's been a company that's growing a lot. And I, like, as I mentioned, that I'm a fairly recent employee of Huddle, simply because they acquired Volumetrics about 6 months ago. But everything I've seen is they want to be the best they can be in every area. So obviously many people know us as a video exchange company, a company that, you know, does highlights, right? We're very closely associated with highlights, but We're doing a lot more. We find ourselves with an almost unimaginable amount of video data, and we're doing our best to work on automatic capture and other resources in order to gain insight from all that video that we have. You know, we're working hard. You know, I'm on the research and development team here, and we're working really hard to find new avenues in multiple sports, and just trying to find ways to either display data, convey data, share data, or analyze data, so that teams will be able to have a one-stop place for everything that they need to share video, to watch video, and then perform hopefully deep level analysis on that video without having to have multiple different platforms and services. We've got deep reach in international football or soccer in America. And, you know, we have teams that use our services from the English Premier Soccer League. A lot of American soccer teams use us as well. Basketball, football, volleyball. There's a lot of value that we have from just the amount of data and the amount of video that we have on our platform. And we have some really smart data scientists and capable people here who are working to solve the problem of comparable platform-based data, so that no matter what you're looking at, you know it's comparable to the data you found on another team or in another situation, simply because it's all coming from the same source. And we're doing our best to make sure that that data is consumable by as many people as possible.
Sure. So what's next for your volleyball offerings? I mean, where are you looking to take it?
Yeah. So with volleyball, we're trying to come up with some tools that give coaches access to visualize their own data. So like I said, we've come up with models and we've come up with printable reports. One of the things we want to do is give them a virtual interactive interface to be able to say, I want to look at rotations 3 and 4 when we're attacking from the right side and we receive a pass on the left, you know, and be able to then visualize the entire offensive progression for their team or from any opponents, and see if they can find trends themselves. Beyond that, there are a lot of custom things that we're doing for some teams to create, to give them the reports that they need, as well as some more general reporting. With more bandwidth, I think we could cover a lot more things, but there are additionally some modeling things that we're looking at. We created a Markov chain simulator that allows us to go through and simulate a match, you know, 1,000 times and see what the outcomes are and be able to look inside the match and find what we would expect their kill percentages to be, block percentages, those kinds of things that will give us more insight inside the game and what we would expect to see. You know, if in 800 of 1,000 simulated matches, we see that a team goes on a run of 6 points or more, maybe we're looking for runs inside the actual match, those kinds of things. But there's a wide variety of application. And then luckily being part of Huddle now, I have the ability to branch out into other sports as well, where I'm working on international football and looking for some different modeling things there, or some different statistics that we can share with teams to give them more insight. So,
cool. So, everybody in your role or in this industry comes at it from a different way. What's some advice you'd have for a young person looking to get involved in sports analytics?
One of the biggest things is passion. I mean, it's really easy to come into the office and say, "Oh, another day," you know, and if you're passionate about what you do, it comes across in the work you're able to produce. Being able to pick up new skills, your ability to learn on the fly is going to be a tremendous asset in anything you do in sports analytics, because you're going to have to learn new technologies if you're working with new teams. You're going to have to learn new vocabulary and new rules in sports, and you're going to have to be able to be creative in the way you approach situations. So your ability to learn new things, understand technology. I mean, I think as a data scientist, we're extremely limited if we aren't embracing the newest technologies, newest languages that provide us better resources. So for me, I think coming from a background in statistics, I think my weakest area was my programming and developing. And luckily I got teamed with some really great people who have taught me along the way, and I've been able to pick up new languages, spanning from R to Python to JavaScript, things of those nature, and just always be willing to learn new software, learn new technology, and yeah, just keep the passion for and the love of sports alive.
Okay. Give me one thing we should read, book, website, magazine, email, newsletter. It doesn't have to be, it could be about analytics. It could be about something altogether different.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that it's been brought up multiple times, but The Signal in the Noise,
is Nate Silver.
Yeah. Is a phenomenal book. I think it talks very clearly about, sometimes we can get caught up in, wow, look what the data is saying. I'm so smart because I found this really cool nuanced thing. And then you find out that it's really just bias in how you're collecting your data, or, you know, any number of other things. And it talks about how we're supposed to separate the meaningful from the meaningless. And I think that's a very powerful book.
All right. That's a good one. Again, that's The Signal in the Noise, is Nate Silver, 538. So, hey, Corley, well, last question, where can we find you online, follow you either on social media or on the web?
So that's actually one of my biggest flaws as a sports analyst so far, is that for the last 3 years, I've been meaning to create more of a social presence, and I really don't have much of one yet. I do have a Twitter, but I haven't tweeted all that much, honestly.
Really, I don't think a lot of people would say that's a flaw. I think they might see that as a virtue for you. So
yeah, well, it hurts me because I'm not able to get out and interact with others who are in my field, you know, and I don't use what I've learned to help inspire other people or to change the way they think. So either a blog or using Twitter more, or you know, any variety of things to get what I've learned out and to make it accessible for others, I think is going to be the next big step in my career. So,
all right. Well, we'll be on the lookout for that. Again, my guest today has been Corley Bagley of Huddle, and at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Corley will deliver a talk titled Bump, Set, Spike, Using Analytics to Rate Volleyball Teams and Players. Hey, Corley, thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Great. And thank you for listening today. Again, the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference will be Thursday, June 21st at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference for details, and make sure to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at @analyticsconf. Thank you very much.